Okay, so to start, I want to start off on a low note so that we can only go up.
Okay, I'm going to start with this.
Because that makes sense. I want to talk real quick. Yesterday, we tried to go over to our buddy Dave's house to do a thing, and it was going to be a project that we were going to throw up on the blog and sort of work on for a week or two. And what it was, there's this game that comes with Journey only if you buy the physical copy, I think. I don't know if you can get it through, you know, digital means or not.
Yeah, I thought it was like a special collection edition.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I don't know if there's also a special collection, like digital edition or not, but I know Dave has it physically. And along with the Journey for the PlayStation 3, you also get a couple of games that I think other people who have worked on Journey have worked on, and they're like either 24 or 48 hour like indie jam kind of things. And it's this game called Duke War, which we're so surprised we haven't heard of because it's so simple and so fucking fun.
It is amazing.
I mean, the premise of it, it's kind of like if Pikmin was mixed with a little bit more of an RTS, I guess.
It is, yeah, it's like that.
Because, I mean, what you do is you're this duke, and you go and kind of, along this, like, randomly generated...
You are a duke, and you war.
You do war, but to war, you recruit all of these, like, random villagers, and the lines are just so good.
Yeah.
They're so self-aware. I mean, people will see this eventually when we make this, because I do want to make this, but, and we'll talk about that more when we actually make it, but the thing is, the capture card that I was trying to use didn't feel like picking up the TV audio, and we tried a couple different configurations. We tried to troubleshoot this thing for like 2 hours, and it's one of two things: either my laptop's not compatible, or it's a fake Chinese version of the capture card that we think it's supposed to be. So,
kind of hoping it's not that one.
I mean, I talked to my unfortunately, oh god. I was a little bit disappointed. I talked to my brother about it. I'm like, yeah, like this doesn't work. So like, good luck getting the audio to work. Like, I hope that that works for you and that, mm-hmm. you know, because he's going to get a laptop soon. So that's how he's going to capture from the TV to something. Mm-hmm. I know that he's probably just going to do like Call of Duty videos. I'm like, yeah, you won't be able to pick up the audio. So I was like, oh, that's okay. I'll just put music over it. It's like, oh, so those are the kind of videos you're going to.
Okay.
Okay, Max.
That, yeah, sure. I mean, that's a thing.
I mean, it is a thing, and I guess he's being creative, so whatever.
Right, yeah. Don't, yeah. Okay, well.
Welcome to the first-person podcast simulator. Today is March 10th.
Today is March.
March 10th.
It is the 10th, yes.
March 10th. I am Zach Bruin, and joining me is...
Mike Egan.
And
some dogs in the background.
Yeah, it's really hot in this room, so we open the door, and the dogs really just... I think they've heard of us, so
yes.
They really want to get
dogs.
In on this.
I don't have any dogs. These are the neighborhood dogs.
The worst thing is that if they're not picked up on the recording, then we're just going to seem crazy.
We're just going to sound insane, yeah.
Yeah. It's all these dogs.
You guys don't hear the dogs? They're everywhere, man. No, we're just insane.
Yeah. So, you recently had your spring break where you were, unfortunately, you had the throat knife sickness.
Yes, I had throat knife sickness, which also causes you to jumble your... words.
Yes. So, I mean, was it just kind of like a throat thing, or was it a throat cold sort of feel like shit thing?
Yeah, it was that. That was the second one. It was like, at first it was just a sore throat, and then there was cold stuff sort of added into the mix later. Like, my body just saying, hey, I hate you. Oh, wait, by the way, I really hate you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, spring break where you're supposed to relax. Like, let's take a second where you're not busy to make you die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I think that happens to me, too.
Yeah.
I don't know... I'm not sure. I would be so interested in, like, the science of that, because I don't know if, like...
I know.
Bodies or brains, like,
Once you start to relax, now you can get sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it that? Because that's just mean.
Yeah.
And the thing is...
I know cases where that happens, too.
Yeah.
With other people.
Yeah.
So...
All the time. Throughout this entire winter, I have had instances where I'm like, oh, man, I feel like I'm getting sick. It's going to happen. And then I just fend it off. And then now I'm off.
Yeah.
And it happens. I didn't feel like I was getting sick. It just happened to me.
You're doing good today, though, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to feel better.
Cool.
It's all good.
I have not gotten sick yet, like, throughout the fall or the winter, or even, like, you know, we're getting to early spring, where I think flu season's starting to die out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I, like, everyone I knew for a while was just so sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really sick. And
Oh, yeah.
I dodged a bullet, so I feel like it's going to hit me like right as I get out of school in May. I'm just going to be bedridden for like
Your entire summer.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Okay, so, well, during your break, besides resting, I know you've been shooting some videos and stuff. What have you been playing, though?
I have been playing... What have I been playing? A lot of Deus Ex, Human Revolution, still. Loving that game. A little bit of Skyrim. I have been progressing more in Skyrim. I'm a werewolf now.
Oh my gosh, isn't that the coolest
that
shit?
That is really, really cool.
Oh, like, I saw
just
this.
Just eating people's faces off.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's really great.
It is.
I saw this one really good video of, I think it's like the first time I ever saw anyone like turn into a werewolf in a video from Skyrim, but it was something on YouTube where this dude, I don't know if it's just like random NPC dialogue, but like these kids in the town were trying to like play tag with him, and this kid ran up and was like, "Tag, you're it," and he's like, and he just, all right, morphs into a werewolf and starts slaughtering all of the kids in all of the town, and...
Oh my god.
That was like the tipping point for me. It's like, this is a game I need.
Yeah, that's great. Because that's a thing that you can just do
in
Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
You can pretty much do whatever the hell you want.
Awesome.
It's great.
I saw that you downloaded Banner Saga. Have you given it a roll?
I played a little bit of it, yeah. It's pretty good. Kind of liking it.
Yeah, it's about how I feel. I played another game this morning, just real quick, and the person I was playing, it was their first time playing, which makes sense, because it's only, like, the second game I've played.
Yeah.
Really nice. Really nice people so far.
Okay. So you've had that experience, at least.
Yeah?
Right?
Do you want to enlighten?
I mean, nothing like Call of Duty Xbox Live-ish.
They didn't call you a faggot and say that they fucked your mom?
Well, they didn't say they fucked my mom. I don't remember the exact phrasing, but it was like, "How do you get this lucky shot?" etc. Like, I'm just clicking buttons, man. What do you think I'm doing?
Tactics, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. And then he ended up winning, so shut up.
Oh, yeah. That's a I don't know what it's like to lose in that game yet, so...
Well, I feel so sorry for you.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much, like, renown you get after fights in comparison to, like, when you do and do not win. I know that you still get, like, renowned for kills and stuff.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah, I think
which, cool system. Yeah. I still gotta play around with, like, the job system and stuff, because I just upgraded an archer to, like, a bow master or something, and now her new ability is that she can shoot, like, a little bit farther, and they always hit.
Oh.
So, I, yeah.
Sweet.
I'm all about...
I had that ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been nice.
All about the archers.
Yeah.
Have you had it happen to you yet where you're, like, being so super indecisive about a turn, and then, like, you move to go hit someone, but then you run out of time right before you're able to hit them? Because that totally happened to me today.
No, that hasn't happened to me yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm just like, no! Oh, God. Rookie move.
Yeah. I'm guessing you heard that dog. You had to have heard
that. I hope they heard that dog. What else? More editing. Yeah. Anyways, some stuff happened last week. The first thing that comes to mind is, oh god, I can't remember her fucking name. The woman who is doing the tropes versus women in video games. That's the full title of the thing.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, a lot of people knew about that before for a while. There was a whole Kickstarter thing, and then there was a big backlash from a lot of dudes who thought that she was... I don't know if they thought she was just doing it for attention or reasons that I guess were unjust, that she was like too far off the other spectrum of feminist. But I mean, the first video of that finally came out, and did you get
so it's going to be a series?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That no, I told you I was going to watch it. And I
that's fine. I mean, we can talk about that next week a little bit. We can touch on it after we've both seen it, but I mean, it's like the first video is a 23-minute video, and it talks about the whole damsel in distress sort of trope that is pretty frequent in video games. And it just, a lot of it just tells you the facts. I mean, I told you about this. It's like 20 minutes of facts and 3 minutes of like commentary and thoughtfulness on the subject. So, that's a cool thing. And in addition to that, I just hope that those idiots who were kind of like, pretty much abusing her over the internet, like just kind of are eating their words, because you know that what she's doing is valid.
Mm-hmm.
And God,
there's nothing more satisfying to see people attack something and then have it come out and it's just this really cogent well thought out argument. And it's like they're not just hitting back at you. It's actually a valid thing.
She did a TED Talk on how did you ever see that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, she did a TED Talk on the backlash of announcing the Kickstarter project.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it got to that point. That's worth watching too.
Definitely.
Anita, her name is so strange looking. Anita Sarkazian? Not Sarkadian. I have it written down. Hold on. Yeah, I think it's Sarkeesian. Sarkeesian.
Okay. Sarkeesian. Yeah, that makes sense. I have so many TED Talks I have to watch. That's just adding it to the list.
Yeah.
But
I should probably use that app I have on my iPod at all for that. I've heard it's good. I've heard it's really good.
I've heard a lot of TED Talks are good.
Yeah.
I told myself that I would use spring break to get caught up on, well, a lot of things, but also TED Talks, all of the articles that I had saved in Pocket. None of that happened.
Stuff comes up.
But yeah, I will add that, because that is really interesting to me. I've been seeing actually a lot of different headlines concerning women in games and women in the games industry, and it's really... That's great.
Yeah, over the last year, it's really... More attention has been drawn to it, which is good. Yeah. I mean, do you remember that thing a while ago that was some Twitter stuff where it was women tweeting about their experiences in the industry and...
I think I do remember that,
sort of explaining how, you know, it kind of makes sense that it's a male-dominated industry because a lot of them are so fucking inclusive.
Yeah.
Or exclusive?
Exclusive.
Yeah, so they're so, you know, they exclude so many of the women by just the things that they do. And some of the stuff that I read, it was really shitty, man.
Yeah.
Really awful. Like, women who are obviously qualified for positions not getting it because they are women.
Right.
You know, that just scratches the surface.
Well, there's a lot of that, like, just everywhere. But
well, yes.
Especially in the games industry.
Yeah.
Like, at the PS4 event, not a single woman came on stage. They had Sony people, they had developers.
Yeah.
Not a single woman.
And it's a shame to say that that's not really surprising.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, it's really indicative of just the kind of games you're seeing. You know, it's another Killzone.
Yeah.
Male-dominated team is going to make another shoot people in the face
again. Yeah,
a
lot of power fantasies shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I totally play.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, I don't play Killzone, but, you know, there's room for that, but
I mean, it's fine to see iterative games. That's okay, and there's a graphics bump. That's still cool games to see, but think of all the innovation we're not seeing from people whose voices aren't being heard in the industry.
Yep.
Because of gender.
So dumb.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll be a little bit more progressive with that.
I think we'll get there. I think we're getting there, and I hope it will change rapidly now that it's being more presented in the mainstream a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So to switch topics real quick, I know you recently celebrated the 2-year anniversary of your channel.
I did.
That was pretty awesome to see. You did a cool video that involved a McDonald's Shamrock Shake.
Mm-hmm.
How are they this year?
Was great because A, I love Shamrock Shakes. Mm-hmm. B, it's the St. Patrick's Day thing, which is my birthday, and C, because my throat was killing me still that day.
Wait, is your birthday on St. Patrick's Day?
It is, yeah.
Whoa, no way.
And I'm Irish.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I wasn't sure, because I knew that you were Italian.
Yes.
I didn't know if you were...
I'm more Irish than I am Italian, so...
I don't know the derivatives of mine. I know I am definitely both Irish and Italian. I think Polish, and maybe German?
Okay.
I don't know. There was a thing where I found out that my dad wasn't really my dad, like, a little while ago, so I sort of questioned what I really am now in terms of race.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So, besides that really heavy-hitting thing that I just said, anyways, so, yeah, that was really awesome.
We are both white people.
Yes.
Is what we're saying.
Very Caucasian individuals. So, yeah, that was cool, though. That was... Congrats
Thank
on
you.
That, again.
Thank you very much.
Very awesome.
The mug made by our friend Marissa.
Yeah. Really cool mug.
Yes. I know she listens to the podcast, so...
Sweet.
Thanks, Marissa.
Thanks, Marissa.
You're awesome.
So, do we want to sort of move on to the Oculus Rift stuff?
We can talk Oculus Rift.
All right.
Yeah, I'm always up to talk Oculus Rift.
So, I hadn't heard about it.
I'm surprised by.
Well, I've heard of it. I didn't,
uh-huh.
You know, dig deeper to see what it really was.
Okay.
But you recently showed me the video of it, and it's a really good-looking augmented sort of, like, the Virtual Boy done right.
Right, yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
It's like the Virtual Boy, but not on a stand and strapped to your face.
Right.
It's just a really good-looking, low-latency
VR. Have they thought about people with glasses yet?
You know, I wonder about that. But it seems like it's... You're probably going to have to take your glasses off, but it's so close to your face that you won't have a vision problem.
I'm hoping that they've considered that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bulk of the gaming consumers are nerdy people with glasses, I'm guessing. They've got to take that
into
account.
How dare you?
Look at both of us right now. The people at home, they don't know, but...
They don't know. We do have glasses.
Yes.
I recently
They don't know. We're both really muscular without glasses.
And not even, like, skinny.
And full beards.
Yes!
Oh, the lies. Anyway. So, Oculus Rift.
Yeah, and I mean, it's... I mean, I saw it. It's really impressive because it has, like, really minimal latency. And that in itself, really cool. So the developer kit for that recently dropped, right?
Yeah, that is out this month. It was shipped to a couple of developers, most notably Notch, creator of Minecraft.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering, did they drop any other names besides?
And Mojang. No, actually, I believe the developers aren't supposed to say when they get it, but Notch did it anyway.
Oh, he's Notch.
He was like, I'm probably not supposed to say this, but I got this and I'm really excited and I don't care. So he just tweeted it. And,
Well, I mean...
I don't think they'll mind.
I mean,
it's Notch.
Yeah, it's fucking Notch. That's only good publicity.
Yeah.
Are you going to say no to him? Are you going to send an email
Absolutely
to him?
Absolutely
not. No. Come on.
But now I'm just imagining Minecraft on Oculus Rift.
Yeah, and I worry.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a really good sense of immersion with those. I mean,
definitely.
They just looked really good, and they looked like they performed really well. But, you know, Minecraft's addicting as it is, and it is immersive as it is already.
They're going to find you weeks later.
That's closer to getting, like, almost literally lost in that world.
Yeah. It's one step closer to the Matrix.
Yes.
Which somehow I don't mind.
I mean, yeah, they haven't announced, like, a price for them at all yet, have they?
No, okay. Not for, like, a consumer product.
All right.
The developer kit is $300 if you want to get your hands on it.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a game.
Yeah, just learn how to make a game real quick.
No problem.
But yeah, not sure of consumer pricing or consumer release. I know it's a Kickstarter thing, and it was funded successfully on Kickstarter a while back.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that'll really work with, like, what the learning curve will be in terms of doing, like, first-person shooter stuff.
Yeah. Because it did seem like, in the demo we watched, it did seem like he, the guy with it on his face, was still using the thumbstick to look around.
Yeah.
And just kind of wearing it for the immersion.
Absolutely. I think that's, I don't know how that's going to work so well with PCs.
It's probably going to take a while to get used to using that just to look around and then just move.
There will probably be some, like, initial kinks. Like, again, like the whole looking behind you thing. I know it's a really wide, like, field of view, but...
It's not that wide.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. I mean, I think that maybe it'll just be sort of an adjustment thing. Maybe a couple people will have it, and it'll be one of those cool tech things.
Yeah.
I don't see it taking anything by, like, storm or anything. But, you know, if it does well, awesome.
There is a story that ties into this. There's a game that I have recently heard about, and now I'm just staying completely glued to, because I think it's going to be amazing.
Okay.
Is Star Citizen from... the maker of some other game, whose title I can't remember, but it was a while back, and it was this really popular space shooter game, and I loved playing TIE Fighter as a kid. Really, really fucking loved TIE Fighter.
You still have your joystick.
I do, yeah. I gotta find a way to get TIE Fighter on this computer if I can. It's compatible with Windows 95, so Windows 7 will surely support it, yeah.
You checked out Good Old Games?
I have not.
I don't know, but...
That would probably be a good idea. Because I don't think it's on Steam.
Probably not.
No, but... Yeah, but anyway, I've had this sort of craving for another space sim, sort of flying and shooting things in space.
Like a space dog fight kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. And I recently made a Tumblr post about what I would be looking for in a Firefly video game.
Right, right.
which really just makes me incredibly excited, because I've been playing Star Wars The Old Republic,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's some space flight in there, like you actually get to control the ship.
Cool.
But if it were, you know what, I'll get into Firefly at another date. But
after I've watched the whole series?
Anyway, oh, you still... It's on Netflix, man.
I know, but I have a lady friend who wants to watch it with me, and she works like 40 hours a week, so
well,
blame her. Send her hate mail.
I will.
Guys,
quit your job.
To the podcast.
God. What are we talking about? Oculus, Star
Space.
Citizen. Yes.
Space.
So anyway, Star Citizen, it looks like this game that I want to exist. Like,
what's the setup? Is it pretty much just a sort of, you are in space and there's a lot of like sort of dogfight stuff? What
yes.
type of...
And then you land in a hangar and get out of the ship and you are like a person. Like it's
a person.
It's like I hesitate to call it an RPG because I don't know if there's any RPG elements, but there
okay.
is conversation from what I hear. So I'm gonna go ahead and call it an RPG.
Okay, is this
so
sort RPG of just based off of the trailer? Has not really been that much gameplay shown, or
well, sort of. There was a bit of in-engine gameplay shown in the trailer.
Okay,
it's I think also Kickstarter.
Mm.
God, Kickstarter,
right?
Really great.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like basically an RPG where you get in a ship and can fly around in space.
Cool.
And it's everything I'm waiting for. But that ties into Oculus Rift in that the creator is saying the game is going to support Oculus Rift as a means of like augmenting the way conversations work in the game.
Huh.
And he wants to like sort of get away from like conversation choice ABC and more about does this person like me, and like do I like this person, and relationships in that way.
Changing the way that conversation happens. So just using Oculus Rift in itself?
I guess, yeah. Like, because I can see Oculus Rift working really well for conversations, just looking from person to person.
That's true.
Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine how it would change it in such a way that it becomes a, like,
yeah,
more
can,
deeply about relationships with characters.
Right, I mean, I can see...
So that's really exciting.
Yeah, I can see it being a nice little, like, sort of supplement. I can mm-hmm. kind of have an idea of how that would work, but the implementation of how it will, like, really alter how conversation works in those
yeah.
sort of games, I think that'll be interesting to see how
yeah.
they kind of approach that.
I'll have to look more into that,
yeah.
and I will definitely be keeping on top of that. I'm going to find a website so that you can, too. Listener.
The one, just the, hey there.
Yeah, the one listener.
Mm-hmm.
Which is us later this week.
Me for editing and you for when I'm done editing.
Yep. Okay, so it's robertsspaceindustries.com/star-citizen.
Huh.
So marketing not great, maybe. But the game looks amazing. It raised $8 million. So
wow.
It's definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What was their... What goal did they need? Wait, is this for Oculus Rift? Or wait, not.
This is for the Star Citizen.
Okay.
Let me find their Kickstarter page. Wow, okay. Their initial asking was $500,000.
Okay.
They made $2.1 million
mm-hmm.
on Kickstarter.
Okay.
And then the rest, I guess, was just other donations.
Huh.
To the tune of, like, $6.2 million.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So
that's like Double Fine all over again.
Yeah, some people really want to see this thing made.
Oh, actually, speaking of which,
right.
Another a thing related to that. So have you ever heard of the Torment series, the Planescape Torment games at all?
No.
Actually, I think Planescape Torment was just one game. So it was this older kind of it was definitely an RPG, but it was more of a turn-based sort of... Have you seen, like, what Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 kind of looked like a little
yeah.
bit?
Yeah, like top-down.
Yeah, of. It's... Imagine that, but it's set in this D&D setting.
Uh-huh.
It was a really popular game. It was really good, and a lot of people liked it. A lot of people liked it. So I think the same company is now doing a new game that they just recently, you know, tried to... Are definitely kick-starting.
Yeah.
I forget what their initial asking price was, but I know within, I think, a day and a half, they had over $2 million.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people who want that thing.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is their incentives to donate and like their like monetary goals later,
mm-hmm.
really good. Like it's like at this like you know at this gross point, we will get you know this writer from the old like Planescape Torrent game.
Oh wow!
And hire him.
Okay.
And like there are certain I feel like it's a couple hundred dollars, like maybe it was $750 or something, and like a couple different levels there, you know. Deviating from that,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, yeah, if you donate this much, you can design an item and create the lore for it and decide what it does.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So.
Oh wow.
There are a lot of. I feel like there are a lot of old nerds who really want this and have a lot of cash to throw at it.
Oh
so.
Yeah.
I don't know what the standing is right now, but I mean, it was after like a day or two
mm-hmm.
that they raised over $2 million. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of stories on Kickstarter. Have you seen a game not get funded on Kickstarter yet? I mean, I'm sure it's out there, but...
Yeah, I'm not any of them that are worth noting, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there haven't been, like, separate news sites just to follow Kickstarter things, or at least not that I know of yet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that would be a thing to do.
Definitely.
That seems either profitable and or informative.
Yeah. Seems like a thing that any young new startup blog might be interested in covering.
Nah.
Moving on.
So, how about that SimCity?
Oh, how about that SimCity?
So, I have an idea of what's going on with it. There are mm-hmm. still a couple of unknowns because I don't own it, obviously. But I think what it can pretty much be summed up to is EA didn't have enough room in their servers
they were
to
not
handle.
Ready.
Yeah. Which, I mean, there are a lot of people on either side, and we sort of saw this happen with Blizzard when Diablo 3 came out.
Yeah.
But it's to the point now where people are losing hours and hours and hours of progress.
Yeah.
I've heard people lose, like, a handful of cities because...
Oh, yeah.
You go to, like, autosave, it's like, oh, can't connect to the server, server's overloaded.
And also losing hours just waiting to maybe connect or maybe just get booted.
Yep.
And, okay, so the gaming news site Polygon did a review... of SimCity
mm-hmm.
because they had, you know, pre-release code because they're the press.
Sure.
And they rated it at like 9 or 9.5. And they changed their review twice
yeah.
after that.
Which is...
To reflect the changes. And it went from like a 9 or 9.5 to an 8 and then to a 4.
Ooh,
it's
wow.
currently standing at a 4, I believe. It's so just crushingly awful. To see that happen.
I mean, that's...
Because they were so excited for this game, and it looked really cool and just interesting, and they were like, man, I'm just losing hours because this is such a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't work for anybody.
Right.
And that's awful.
Yeah. And that brings up a question for me. Like, how do you feel about the fact that they went back and changed that sort of thing? Because I know
they changed the review score?
Yes.
I'm fine with that. I think that's entirely appropriate.
Okay.
Because I think their responsibility is to the readers and the consumers rather than to the game developers.
Okay.
And I think they have a responsibility to let... That was probably my phone. I think they have a responsibility to let the readers and the consumers know what's up with this game. And they're trying to... The point of the review is... So you will know whether or not you will like it and whether or not you will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they didn't change the review, people would just be like, this is going to be an amazing game. It's
yeah.
a 9.
Yeah.
And that would be a little disingenuous not to change it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I forget. I don't know what Destructoid gave it. I think theirs
yeah.
was pretty high, but they did not want to change it entirely based off... I don't know how they did it. I don't know if they did it like pre-launch or not. And if...
Mm-hmm.
They kind of... I know they had a lot of articles, like, sort of surrounding the whole SimCity thing.
Yeah.
To, like, supplement the review and kind of being like, hey, don't buy this during the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to let EA know that this isn't okay. And the only way that they're going to see that is with a plummet in, you know, first week sales.
Yeah. EA now also offering people who bought the game a free EA title.
Right.
As sort of compensation.
Mm-hmm. Then that's interesting. And
yeah.
I saw there was this conversation the other day... that was posted up on, I think it was on Reddit or something. I know it was definitely on Imgur, which I am on more often than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was someone having a conversation with an EA, like, support person, like, they were kind of explaining their side of things and how they wanted a refund because they thought that they were disingenuous with the experience that they were going to be getting. And I think that went viral a little bit, sort of showing how, I mean, they're not being too particularly helpful or, like, remorseful with what's happening.
So,
people are on a few different sides of this, too, because there's the portion of people who are kind of like, well, I mean, it's a pretty big title. There hasn't been a SimCity in a while. What did you expect with, like, these server issues? But I don't think that people understood that it would be quite this bad in terms of losing your data and making the game unplayable.
And this is, that sort of response is kind of what I would expect from EA, because it's EA, and they don't seem to give a shit about anybody, because they're giant EA.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they were the publisher, essentially. And Maxis, the company who developed it, seems really, really upset by this.
Oh, yeah?
And they were, there was an interview with one of the chief officers of Maxis, or one of the heads of the SimCity project, and they seemed just devastated by this, and that they were saying that people for the production are staying in round the clock, just trying to fix this thing that they put their heart and soul into, that they wanted people to love so much.
Fucking and shame.
And I know.
Like, I don't, again, I have not seen a lot of gameplay of this thing, but do you think always being connected online in that sort of way is really necessary for an experience like that?
No, I don't like that at all. I think, I mean, it makes sense when they use the argument that it's what they sort of wanted SimCity to always be, a big interconnected world of everyone's cities put together.
Sure.
Clearly they weren't ready for that. They didn't have the infrastructure for it. But I also, whenever I hear always online, I immediately think of DRM. And I'm immediately put off by that.
Yeah, yeah. There were, Mike's computer's freaking out right now.
What do you want, man? It's gonna be okay. It's okay.
And then explosions.
Yes.
And this is the last thing anyone ever heard from us.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but people also sort of raised the... One particular person sort of raised the idea that a lot of publishers and sort of other people are going towards this route where, like, this always online, always social route, like... What people are taking from that is, like, oh, well, people don't want single-player games anymore, when that's not really true at
Absolutely
all.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, because, you know, they took Dead Space 3 and turned it into, you know, kind of a co-op game.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that does something to a survival horror game.
Oh, definitely.
Not sure how much survival horror is actually in Dead Space 3, because I know that they really kind of changed that series, but... I mean, it's an interesting thought that, like, a lot of companies always want this, so, like, online interconnectivity and more of a social aspect of things, when that doesn't always work for certain games. I mean, you want to be isolated for those survival horror games, and, you know...
Or like Diablo 3. Yeah. You would need an internet connection to play that game, but it's... From my understanding, those are single-player games.
Yeah, they are.
It's a dungeon crawler.
StarCraft 2 is the same way.
Really no need to be online for that.
Right.
Well, StarCraft 2 has a big multiplayer component that's, you know...
Well, yeah, but I don't think you can play the regular campaign if you're not hooked up to the internet. I don't know, though.
No, you can play single player, the campaign, I mean. If you're... that's a good question. I don't know if you can do it if you're not connected to the internet, but I know through, let's say, a friend that you can pirate the game and play the campaign.
Ah. Well, in that case...
Since then, I have purchased the actual game, because I wanted to play the multiplayer.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which, by the way, is too expensive, and I'm not buying the expansion, because money.
I mean, yeah, that's... Is it actually an expansion, or is it a $60, like, additional chunk?
It's basically a $60 additional chunk. I mean, it is adding another campaign.
Yeah.
So, it's like another game, but it is still StarCraft 2.
Yeah, that's... I mean, it's sort of weird how they did that, because, you know, originally you had the first StarCraft and you had, you know, three different campaigns with all the different sort of units.
Right.
And then the expansion.
And now they're breaking that up.
Other campaigns, too.
Making you pay $180 for something you could pay $60 for.
Yep. But it's Blizzard, so.
So screw you.
Yep. Fuck off.
Yes.
That is pretty much what Blizzard says to everybody.
Yeah, a little bit.
All the millions of people.
And everybody says, okay. Because you're Blizzard.
I'm sure Blizzard, some people actually probably care about Blizzard.
Yes. Maybe. But
fuck you. Really wanted to say that.
I know. It's just fun.
Yeah. Oh. I wanted to tie this in earlier with the whole, like, the failure of the Duke War thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a project or two that I kind of want to start and throw up on the blog.
Ooh.
I think I've got two in mind. One is definitely I'm about halfway through the Adventure Time game, roughly.
Oh, yeah.
Not that long of a game in itself, but I'm going to play that, and I'm not sure if I want to call it a review yet. I'm mm-hmm. going to do a video on it, tell people what I thought of it. So that's
awesome.
That should be hitting the blog. Week or two at most. I'm hoping. I gotta actually finish it.
Right. So there's that.
And then
it eventually.
Yes. Yes. Definitely eventually. You and me want to kind of do our games list thing.
Right.
That I think we alluded to last week.
Yeah. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. It's really, really big.
Yeah.
It is a very big games list, probably for both of us.
Yeah.
And then I had one other thing that I can't think of that I wanted to do. I wanted to write about. I'll think of it later. You guys will see it. You'll see it. You'll like it too.
It'll be there.
It's gotta be good.
Understand.
I hope
you will like
good.
It.
Yeah.
So this piston.
Oh yeah.
News about that. At South by Southwest.
AKA the Steam Box.
The one of many Steam Boxes, we assume. The first Steam Box.
Really?
They are a Valve affirmed partner of the Steam Box program. So Piston, the company, has their XI3 computer. I don't know if you saw it at CES when it was shown there.
No, I unfortunately didn't really follow too much CES stuff.
It's really tiny. It's like... if you imagine, like, two or three Rokus stacked on top of each other,
okay.
It's kind of that size. And it's, like, a really cool design shape, but that's just, you know.
So they're partnering with them.
Right. Yes. So there was a little bit of a video that, I don't want to say leaked, because the guy who was running the presentation just seemed not to care about, but, like, in a good way. I don't know if that makes sense.
So he was kind of, like, chill about people recording what was
going
on?
Yeah, he was like, this is all in development stuff. We're not going to tell you not to show it to anybody, because we know what you do. You're going to take video, you're going to put it up on the internet, whatever, that's fine. He seemed really okay with it.
Well, I mean, that's good. He knows what's up.
Yeah, definitely. And that really went along with the rest of the presentation, which was showing a really customizable user interface, where you can go through and choose, like, it was like a big list, like games, music, videos, etc. And then you would click on that and you could choose what program would launch for each of those. So, like, under games, you could choose Steam, you could choose Origin, you could choose Gaikai.
Oh.
And for the music, you could choose Spotify. And then it would just, like, automatically launch all these things and you would be in that.
So, wait, is this actually what people are calling the Steam Box, or is this this other company's different product?
This isn't Valve software.
Oh, okay.
This is their thing, sort of integrating with Big Picture Mode Steam.
Okay.
So you can, like, I guess the point of the XI3 is that it's a console, but it's a PC. Is it
an entertainment box for your living room?
Kind of.
Okay.
I think this is an interesting area we're going to get into. It's like an entertainment box, but it's a PC. Because it can run all these PC programs.
Right.
So that's really interesting. It's available.
I like that leap is being taken.
Yes.
Because, like, as cool as it is to have your tower hooked up to an HDTV, it's not the best interface.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's familiar with it, obviously, but, you know, it...
Yeah. Using a mouse and keyboard from the couch isn't
comfortable. It's only so good. Yeah.
All.
Right. So.
So, yeah, this will be interesting to see. You know, that'll probably be mostly controller-based.
I would think so.
Interface. And it is available for pre-order at South by Southwest. It's going to be available for $999. So $1,000.
Right.
But they like to say $999.
Well, yeah.
Everybody likes it. I don't know. But there's a $100 discount at South by Southwest. So if you're there, you can pre-order it for $900.
Interesting.
Is it worth it? Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on the features that this thing is going to run. I mean,
yeah.
We're gonna see really soon. It's kind of, yeah, I mean, it is sort of the first of its kind.
Yeah.
In a way, so.
It's the first thing we've seen kind of in the wild or at a presentation.
In the wild.
Yeah, as they say.
A wild piston appears?
Yes.
Good.
It used Steambox. It's very effective.
Or is it? We'll tell you next week on First Person Podcast Simulator.
And that's where the music would go if we had music.
Which I am working on as well. That is another thing I'm working
on. Oh, excellent.
I'm going to make time for that to be a thing. And we're going to have a
sweet
song.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited to work on it.
Cool.
Yep. Don't get your hopes up.
Okay.
Anyways.
They're way down.
But yeah, we sort of need to see how much of a long-lasting thing this will be, if it really is sort of, I guess, user-friendly with everyone's TVs and stuff.
Right.
It's going to be a matter of time to sort of see what the feelings are about it.
Yeah.
On a consumer
Which
level.
I guess will be soon, because it's, you know, available to order.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure about a date. We may or may not have a date. But yeah, they were, the reason they were putting it out for pre-order, we don't have a date. The reason they were putting it out for pre-order is because...
Update, guys, there's no date.
Yeah. That was me stalling while I checked my tablet for things that I wrote down that I should remember. But they cited the reason for putting out for pre-order now is because they're anticipating not being able to fill the actual orders.
Oh.
So they're getting a jump on that.
Is this the actual Steambox? Is this what people were talking about? Or is this a situation where it's like, oh, Double Fine released the cave? Is that the thing that people put money
into? No, yeah. This is a Steambox. I think...
So one of many?
I think maybe you're confused about Steambox. Steambox is...
Steambox refers to...
An idea.
Oh, okay.
It's the cloud which rains on other devices, and
so it is a category of sort of living room PC entertainment.
That's
box.
What I'm taking away from.
Okay.
It, yeah. So this is a Steambox, and Valve is partnering with several companies to produce Steamboxes their own. And I think Valve is going to come out with their own hardware as well.
Yeah.
Soon, I think they're going to start sending that to testers.
I'm hoping that that'll be around E3.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just hope that all the rules are broken this generation, and that every other thing is a game changer. I think that's the sort of refreshing, kind of upbeat,
yes,
kick in the ass that we need.
Everything just explodes.
Everything explodes.
LA Convention Center is
forever.
On fire. People are run screaming into the streets.
Innovation.
Yes.
Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't think I have anything else to talk about.
Yeah, maybe a shorter one this week. Nothing wrong with that.
Unless you wanted to briefly hear about Google's talking shoe.
What?
Which, now that I've said that, of course you want to hear about Google's talking shoe. So Google is at South by Southwest. They have their quote-unquote playground set up.
Okay.
And one of the things they've got there is this wacky invention no one knew they were working on called, I guess, the talking shoe. It has an accelerometer. It's got a gyroscope and pressure sensor, so it knows if you're sitting down or if you're up and active, and it will yell at you and tell you to do things, or it will be like, I don't know, you ran this many miles or something.
Okay.
And it's got Bluetooth, so it can be paired to your phone.
Nike did something like that in a sort of a smaller scale. I don't know.
Yeah,
if
we're seeing a lot of sort of activity sensors now, but nothing like a shoe that talks to you
to
through
you.
A speaker. Oh. I think the idea is that, like, this was just a crazy South by Southwest thing.
Fucking hope.
But it will Bluetooth connect to your phone. It'll display what it would say to you.
Maybe. God. I don't think you understand how weird this is talking about, from Google Glass, this thing that could just change, like, lives and how we work, to a shoe, a talking shoe, that guilts you into not being active.
Well, I'm guessing it's not the same creative team.
Actually.
Unless this is all part of a larger Google
body
strategy.
Augment.
Yes. Clothing and apparel. Can I tell you about the Google pants? Please say no.
My God, please. Okay.
Yep.
I mean,
that was a thing.
I mean, I could see that working in a specific sort of way. Because, again, that the Nike did their sort of thing where they they had a shoe that did a similar thing. It would, like, log how many miles that you jogged, and it had, you know, the pedometer and accelerometer and stuff in it. And you compare that to your phone, and I think they, I don't know if it was them or someone else, but they had, like, this cool app where it pretty much turned exercising into this big, like, cool social network.
Yeah.
And, like, you had goals, and I think you might have, I don't know if you got, like, points or coins for it or something like that, but I think you had, like, a small, like, avatar kind of in a, like, a Wii Fit kind of way.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you didn't do anything for a while, they would be, like, kind of bummed and maybe fat and or sleeping. So,
as you most obviously would be then.
Yes, if you, you know, you just...
Yeah, a lot of companies are doing that. There's a big... Nike did it with their Fuel Band. A lot of people are doing wristbands. No one else is doing talking shoes, I'm guessing. But I think...
always innovating.
Jawbone, I think, was the other person who did that. And they both have their apps.
Okay.
So there's clearly a big interest in, you know, activity tracking and,
yeah, and
sharing.
This sort of augmented reality gaming stuff, I guess. Read a book on that recently. It was
about like turning things in like life into games.
Yes. Did I tell you about that?
I think you did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
That's really interesting.
It is. It's the tone of it is just a little bit too California idealist kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But there are some good points to be made in it.
Sure, yeah.
Jesus, what is that book even called? We can talk about that later. AR gaming stuff can be another topic for some other time.
Totally.
But I think for now that is all we have for this week. Sorry, I need to get the list of... I can never remember, because we're like seeping into all parts of the internet. We have so many
I know.
Annoying links for other sites that are ours. And it's like, hey, like, follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, LinkedIn,
Well, you gotta
Friendster.
Be everywhere, man. You gotta be everywhere.
MySpace. All right, so again, you can find Mike's works. Again, he just hit his 2-year anniversary on his channel, turning out some really good stuff.
Thank you.
At youtube.com/vloginEgan, no G on that. At EganWorks is his Twitter handle. You can follow me at ZachBruin.com. You can follow the blog at FPBSim. Then there's firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com, which is, you know, our WordPress where we throw up our, you know, all of our other things.
The blog actual.
Yes. There's fpbsim.tumblr.com if you are into that. youtube.com/fpbsim, which should have some stuff up relatively soon. facebook.com/fpbsim. And also, to announce, we are now on iTunes, which hopefully if you're listening to this, you have done it through iTunes. So we have finally made it.
Huzzah.
Yes. So if you get a second, please do rate us. Let us know if you would like us to do anything different, or if you just like the cast. Every rating counts, and that would just be good for us generally.
Yes, feedback is much appreciated.
Yep.
It really helps.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you were confused earlier when you were promoting yourself. You said ZachBruin.com.
What?
Which I don't believe is a thing, unless there's something I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I think what you meant to say is that you can follow
me
on Twitter.
At ZachBruin.
At ZachBruin.
I do not have my own site yet.
Yet.
If anyone wants to make that, that would be fine.
Don't do it.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. That is our week of game tech stuff junk.
Bye, guys.
Bye.